look well to this life. It is good. Today is a momentous day. And I don't just say that to rush headlong into the presumption of victory. Although I am hankering for ice cream. I say it because today you stand in a moment of history integral to our Unitarian Universalist faith. Today, this congregation will exercise your right to call your next minister. This privilege is not just time-honored tradition, but dates back more than 350 years to a little blue book. The Cambridge Platform. The Cambridge Platform is one of the founding documents for the Puritan Congregational Churches of America. Written in 1648, it focused on how churches should govern themselves rather than on doctrine. It holds that congregations are individual and autonomous entities within a network of a community of churches, but with each having its own officers and structure of governance independent of any ecclesiastical higher authority. The structure of governance is what we now call congregational polity. Among the many rights associated with this system is the power to call, by vote of the membership, your own minister. A rare power among the variety of religious institutions in this country. And although our Unitarian Universalist theology differs significantly from the original authors of the Cambridge Platform, over the years, we have affirmed its value as a governance system, that the authority lies within the membership of the congregation itself, again and again and again. It remains a defining document for us. Of the 65 congregations that voted to ratify the platform in 1648, 21 are members of the Unitarian Universalist Association today. So when you vote today, you will indeed be reaching back into our history and affirming it yet again. That is no small task, friends. Church has played a significant role in my life since I was very young. Although I was born into a Jewish family on my mother's side, as the child of divorced parents, I had the great fortune to attend several different Protestant churches with my dad, stepmother, and my sisters. I loved church. I loved the music and the singing and the ritual and the pomp and circumstance, the theater of it all. I got swept up in it. I felt its power in my soul. And yes, like most kids, I still got bored with a lot of talking. I knew early on there was a theological gap in these churches. I didn't believe everything that they believed. I claimed my cultural Jewish identity and had deep ties to those grandparents. But in those churches, that didn't seem to matter, because I still found connection and community and an early sense of sacred space. And although some of the messages felt at odds with my family and life experience, I was also surrounded by messages of love and service and faith and hope. And those were the ones I chose to hold on to. During my pre-candidating weekend in February, the search committee and I were enthusiastically discussing ideas of congregational growth and renewal and church life. And David Clopton quietly asked about those that say we are dying. Well, there was a momentary lull in that conversation as we all let that sink in, because it's true. And it is not just us. Mainline Protestantism is dying everywhere in this country. 4,000 churches close their doors every single year. There are less than half the number of churches today than there were 100 years ago. 3,500 people leave the church every single day. These are startling statistics. Much of the research suggests this is due to a generational shift, that the post-war flourishing of mainline liberal churches benefited from a culture of church identity and a culture of church going, regardless of actual belief. Newer generations feel much less tied to the religious practices of their families if they were raised with any religion at all. And then there are the self-identified nuns, the N-O-N-E-S, those who claim no religious affiliation. According to a Pew Research poll, nearly one-fifth of Americans over 30 claim no affiliation, and that percentage rises to one-third of those under 30, the generation of highly coveted millennials. This current generation of young adults, these millennial nuns, also express extreme distrust of religious institutions. They are more liberal, the most liberal generation in our country. They believe religious institutions are too exclusive, too conservative, too political, too old-fashioned, and hostile to LGBT people. And we've witnessed and experienced that and seen that play out in our culture and in our media. They report a desire for safe community. They seek community where they can ask tough questions, where they can wrestle with doubt, where they can be spiritual seekers. They claim that for themselves. It sounds like a perfect fit for us, right? Yes, indeed. We have all of that, and it is something to be proud of. And yet, we do not grow. You see, today's generation and culture at large believe church is unnecessary. They are part of the growing trend of the spiritual but not religious, finding spirituality in non-religious forms, in meditation and yoga, and in the myriad of justice and service and art in their local communities. Now, I realize I'm drifting into some potentially dangerous waters here. Perhaps some of you are wondering why on earth I chose to preach about the dying church on the Sunday you will vote to call me as your next minister. Risky, I know, but I am daring greatly here, so hang with me. I don't want to focus solely on the dying church or join the lamentations about growth and why millennials and others don't come to church because they're such a perfect fit. And I believe we cannot ignore the statistics and the stories because they teach us important lessons. They make us ask important questions. Our awareness about church trends, generations, and culture can help us craft a vision and chart a course for the future. And that is why I am here. I am here because I believe in the church. I believe in this faith. I believe in this community, and we have much to offer and more to do in this community and our wider world. I am here because I want to be a part of that future with you. So what can we learn? What questions can we ask ourselves as we look at the statistics and hear the stories and examine the data? We might ask, what's the point? Why church? What is our greater purpose? What do we have to offer in light of these trends? First, I want to share that one of my favorite church growth gurus, the Reverend Michael Piazza, yes, that's his name, he is a UCC minister for a very long time, and he says that spiritual but not religious, that label, is a bit of cultural narcissism. We've become a culture that thinks we can go it alone. Of course, we can find spirituality in yoga and meditation, in making art and many other activities. I certainly do. But rarely does that offer the depth of intimacy that we can experience in a church community. We need each other. even as we go to great lengths to appear as if we don't, as if we have it all handled on our own. And studies show that we Americans are lonely as ever, with many reporting that they have few deep, authentic relationships. We need community. We will live and die in community. And church can be that place where we are fully known and fully cared for. As our story reminded us today, the light of the church comes from the people. This week, I've been hearing your stories, your amazing stories about the many ways this community has touched your lives and the many ways you give back. Bravo! You have much to be proud of and much to celebrate. Early in my week, Deborah Smith shared a beautiful story with me. She was sharing about a Friday a couple of weeks ago where she was just having one of those moments where she felt like life was too much to bear. And instinctively, she picked up her phone, she was driving, called the church, and said, "Ed, I need someone from the congregational care team to call me. I don't have my directory, I'm in the car." And someone did. It was just that easy. And we wondered aloud as we were talking, she wondered, how might we make that kind of access something everyone feels they can do? Just that easy. That kind of support. Whether it's a big crisis or just that kind of day, to know that there is a network of care in this community available to us at any time. That is community. That dream expresses something exciting and vital and vibrant. Vital and vibrant spiritual communities and religious communities are attractive to people today, and vibrant communities grow. That vitality arises in the variety of ways that we create community within our church. Certainly, this large communal Sunday morning worship is a primary and important touch point for people, centering us for the week, putting us in a space where we can worship and be in sacred space together. But it cannot be the only point of connection. Sunday morning is not the place where folks can experience the depth of intimacy and authentic relationship. That kind of community exists in the smaller cells that come together to form the living organism. That is the church, where our focus is on supporting the spiritual transformation of our members and friends. Those smaller cells, those points of connection, are the lifeblood of the church. And here, whether it is chalice circles or covenant groups, the outdoor sanctuary team, the fiber arts and quilters, the choir, the pagan group, and I could go on and on listing all the groups that are in practice here. Your lifeblood is strong, vital, and vibrant. May we continue to support that energy, always making room for new people, new groups, new ideas, allowing our circles to grow and multiply, bringing more and more lamps, more and more light. At the core of this community and all its many circles of connection, at the core of Unitarian Universalism, really, is our devotion to inclusion. I often hear our youth share that church is the one place in their lives where they can fully be who they are. This is the one place where they can drop the masks and personas they feel they need to hold on to during the week and know that here they will be welcomed just as they are. This is the one place that they can have a space for themselves. We hold a space here in church for all people to claim and express their own identity, especially those identities most often marginalized by society. Here, the prophetic voices of our youth are honored alongside the wisdom and experience of our elders. We teach in our OWL classes the spectrum of gender identity, expression, and sexual orientation as normal and worthy of love and acceptance without holding one above the other, that they can find that love and acceptance in a religious community. Come, come, whoever you are. In many respects, we might be able to claim the ideals of inclusion and radical hospitality as a shared theology. Certainly, however, one of our biggest gifts is that we don't claim any theological truth, any single truth. We open ourselves up to an expansive theological diversity with wisdom coming from many sources that many people find confounding. I find it invigorating. Despite the many theological controversies in our history, our forebears continually upheld our non-creedal free faith over theological doctrine. This week, I have met self-proclaimed atheists, agnostics, secular humanists, you Christians, and those of you with familial ties to other faith traditions, and of course, those lifelong Unitarian Universalists. Together, we weave a brilliant tapestry of faith. We are a big tent religion. We work to welcome all, and it is work. We do not always get it right. This kind of commitment to radical inclusion takes work both on the individual level and on the communal level. But it is sacred and religious work, worth doing and worth sharing with the world at every opportunity. We must continually remind ourselves that there is room. There is room for all of us and more. What a wonderful gift we have to share with the world that ours is a religion of expansiveness, a religion of exploration, where questions are welcomed and doubt is honored, where we celebrate the beauty, wonder, and mystery of life itself, and where we worship all together under one roof. We bring many lamps of colors, shapes, and sizes to the light of this church. Come. Yet again, come. I see our big tent as an open tent, one where we can see beyond ourselves and out into the world, where we use our lamps not only to light our inner sanctuary, but to shine much needed light on the injustices of our world. Again, our history shows a fervent commitment to justice writ large. How can we truly live out our faith if we are not working to address systems of oppression, inequality, marginalization, and so much more? To, quote, feel again the love we owe to others. Unitarian Universalists, regardless of their theological belief, seem to share an underlying sense of that other-centered love, of our shared humanity and universal kinship. And with that comes this understanding, sometimes almost intuitively, that my liberation is bound up in yours. So we show up. We show up on the steps of the Supreme Court to remind the justices that marriage is a civil right for all. We show up on the steps of the Capitol building to demand the four more words for equal protection. We see beyond the riots and violence in Baltimore to hear the cry of generations of oppressed and impoverished people whose voices have long been silenced. And then we bring it home to serve our community. To circle back to those millennials for a moment, they are oriented towards service. More liberal than their parents' generation, they are looking for ways to serve. I'll tell you, it makes me wonder what it would look like if we claimed our Unitarian Universalist presence in all of our service and justice work out in the community. What message would that convey? The gift of the church is that it provides us the opportunity to be agents of change on an institutional level, making a difference on a much larger scale that we cannot individually. We, with change that can continue to grow over time in a way that we cannot. When we work as a church body and share and celebrate that work in community, we build a legacy that serves the future. Our future of justice making in Boise is ripe with possibility. What will be our legacy? Community, radical inclusion and hospitality, and justice making. This is why we do church. It is in all these ways that church can bring us back to our best selves and remind us who we aspire to be. These elements lend themselves to the kind of vitality and vibrancy that is attractive to people, and attractive communities grow. It is our job not only to stand by our faith, but to celebrate it and cultivate our passion for it at every turn. We stand by this faith not by clinging to tradition, but by celebrating change and transformation. We stand by this faith that reinvents itself again and again. We are a living tradition. I have seen this ability in you as I've heard the wonderful history of this fellowship and all that manifested to get you here today, to this moment. And so we celebrate this momentous day when we can honor the many parts of our history that shape who we are as a faith and a church. Like the Maori ceremony, today is a day when we celebrate the past, reaching back to it, bringing it up and joining in this present moment in this beloved community gathered here with all of its gifts and hopes and dreams. And today is the day when we look forward again into the future with open hearts and open minds and open arms to imagine what we might become, how we might transform ourselves and build a legacy of community, radical hospitality, and justice. I am excited to help us create a church that serves as a beacon of progressive values and liberal religion in the Treasure Valley. That is why I do church. Let the journey begin. May it be so. Together, we can build the world we dream about. Together we can embody beloved community of deep connections. Together we can create a place of radical hospitality. Together we can enact justice in the world and be a beacon of liberal light in every corner. Together we can imagine a future full of possibility. Together we can, as we extinguish the flame of our chalice, the flame in our hearts and in this community burns ever bright. Go in peace.